Every 2 years we meet in Rome. The other year we are meeting in a place somewhere in the Middle East. Last year we were in Antelias in Lebanon. We were hosted by His Holiness Catholicos Aram from the Armenian Apostolic Church from Cilicia. And so this year we'll meet in Rome. So Monday the 24th is the day of arrival. Tuesday the 25th is the separate meetings who will take place. And then in the afternoon, we will assist to the Vespers in the Basilica of St. Paul.
Tell us something about the agenda for this week's meeting, what you're hoping to achieve this time round.
Yes, perhaps I have to refer to the past. Last year, after having finalized a document on the nature, constitution, and mission of the Church, was a document that has been composed during a period of 6 years, I think. We started a new issue, which is the concept of communion and communication that existed between our churches in the first 5 centuries of Christian history. So last year in Lebanon, we started discussing that issue, which was very, very interesting because we could realize that until the middle of the 5th century, the churches did not exist in isolation but were in communion with one another. And signs of this communion included the exchange of synodical letters, letters of enthronement, the veneration of common saints, the exchange of visits, and above all, sharing in the sacraments, especially the Holy Eucharist. So this communion was based on an understanding that the churches shared the same faith, as well as the willingness to defend it together against heresies and other threats. So they also saw themselves as engaged in the same mission of evangelizing the nations. That was often a horizontal communion where churches were most intensely in relation with neighboring churches in the same area. So this year we will work further on that issue. We will focus on how the churches expressed their communion. Can we discern a model for today? There was, at any case, a very extensive communication. No church lived in total isolation from each other. There was also a horizontal communion. For example, the Church of Armenia was in contact with the Church of Caesarea. There was a sharing of communion of faith, communion of the creeds, communion in defending and receiving, in maintaining the creeds. There was a communion of sacraments. There was a network of communication and communion of ordinations. And there was also a communion of saints, what we call in Latin communio sanctorum. We can say that we venerate the same saints and the same martyrs. So normally, 8 papers will be presented. Four papers from each side, from the Catholic side and from the Orthodox side. There will be two papers on the tradition of Alexandria. There will be two papers on the tradition of Antioch. There will be a paper on the communion with the Church of Rome. We will study how Rome functioned in that period. Can we say something about the pilgrimages to the tomb of Peter? Well, how was the communication between the Church of Rome and the other churches with regard to letters, visits, and so on? Therefore, we have to describe the context. There will also be a paper on the tradition of the churches in India and the communication with other churches. And then, very important, that it's a new issue, we will also talk about the role played by monasticism. And that is a new issue. The last plenary meetings in November Some members spoke about the importance of deepening the relationship between monasticism and ecumenism, spiritual ecumenism. If I may give another example, because I'm studying the relationship between St. Augustine and spiritual ecumenism, when we are looking to the rule of St. Augustine, I think there must be some very interesting links between basic aspects of his rule, on the one hand, and some main issues, basic elements of spiritual ecumenism. And that is an issue for further research, I think.
So you'll be exploring these issues with what are some of the most ancient churches in the world. Are you hoping to come up with some kind of joint statement at the end of this meeting?
Yeah, at the end of every meeting, we are composing a report with a description of what happened and also what we were talking about. So perhaps we will have some patience with regard to the result of our discussion, but perhaps it will take some years. We will have to see, but at any case, after the presentation of the papers, we can make some conclusions, I hope.
This year, of course, the meeting is also being overshadowed by the recent attacks on the Coptic Church in Egypt. I imagine that this will also form a part of your discussions this time.
Yes, indeed. I am in close contact with the Coptic Bishop of Italy, Rome, Torino, Monsieur Barnaba. Every year I go to assist to the celebration of Christmas. I was there some weeks ago, and that was the moment after the tragic event that happened in Alexandria. So we prepared on behalf of the Pontifical Council. I could pronounce a message on behalf of the President of the Pontifical Council, His Eminence Cardinal Koch, where we expressed our sorrows and our pain because of the tragedy in that area. So we are sure that the co-president of the Orthodox members, His Eminence Amba Bishoy, that he will say a little word on what happened and the fear of the Christian communities in that area.
This kind of tragedy simply underlines even more the urgency of finding a common witness, doesn't it, on behalf of all those Christians who are still persecuted or discriminated against?
Yes, one of the ecumenical challenges is that Christians, the churches and ecclesial communities, are called to work together for peace and justice, and also for giving a common, bearing common witness in that area. They are called to live together with the Muslim majority, but they have to ask also security for celebrating their liturgy and organizing their moments of prayer.
How much is the Vatican, the Catholic Church, able to support these other communities in trying to get greater security, greater freedom of conscience in these countries?
We can only invite and we can only express our solidarity, but which is already very important. For example, this afternoon, Amba Bishoy will arrive from Egypt to the airport of Rome. I will be there to accompany him to the Casa del Clero, where he will stay during this week. There are only little signs of solidarity, but very important, because we are sharing the same faith and we have the same sorrows. We are brothers in Christ. We belong to the one body of Christ, which is the Universal Church.
Pope Benedict has spoken out on a number of occasions, hasn't he, and continues to speak out about the plight of Christians in these countries. How much does that mean to these other Orthodox, for example, churches?
I think it is very important that the Holy Father expresses his solidarity with Christians who are persecuted because it is a support for them. They feel that they are not alone, that we are supporting them. But it's only a moral and a spiritual support because we don't have a political strength to support and to help them. But they feel, in that way, they feel that they are not alone and that I are with them and that we want to express the voice of all those who are persecuted.
It's a very delicate situation. On the most recent occasion, as you know, Muslim authorities have complained, said that the Pope is not showing enough interest in the plight of the Muslims there. What is your view on that?
I think we have to look to what happened in Tunisia, the Gulf of protests who led to the departure of the president. And so that gulf of demonstrations went over to other countries, such as Egypt. But we have to say everywhere in the Middle East, even in Armenia, there are protest calls. So I think that in some countries, as in Egypt, the government is anxious that this demonstration could develop also there. And so I think that they have to be careful because there are also more fanatic and more radical streamings in Muslim population. So I think the reaction against the Holy Father has rather to deal with trying to calm more radical streamings in the society. It's rather an internal question, because there are different streamings in Islam.
Yet it poses problems for the Muslim-Christian dialogue here. Does it also cause difficulties or influence your dialogue with these Oriental Orthodox churches?
I don't think so, but I think in ecumenical dialogue, we always try to speak about these things that we have in common. And so one of the elements, as we mentioned already, is that we can bear the common witness to preach Christ, to speak about him. And if we see that Christians are not able to do it because of different reasons, then we can exchange our sorrows about this. And so in this week, during our meeting, I think we have to listen to their experiences of all those Christians who have to live in very difficult situations.